directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
It's time to take sampling to a whole new level. Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. Special guest DJ with the news,
Brian Amplifier.
Welcome to West Indian Rhythms.
Teaching the youth about roots and culture, and tell the masses them to remember Jah. That's all I need when I am. Well, CKUT is amazing.
Station. 90.3 FM. It's CKUT, the Cultural Radio Station. Radio McGill. Blessed love. The messenger. Take it away.
The FM band is from 88 megahertz up to 108.
You've got this frequency. We're going to call you CKUT. You've got this frequency, 98.3. That frequency is what you're picking up when you tune that radio.
Very impressive.
You can sit on the moon and it looks like they pick up CKUT, clear as a bell.
Fascinating. Your analysis seems logical.
CKUT is on the air.
I slept too little and drank too much.
Rise and shine with CKUT 90.3 FM.
Set me free again.
Drop in the signal, man.
Yes, my friend.
Force
could not control me now. They tried to. God don't try to call me. Let me tell you that I'm a dopey conqueror, conqueror. Yes, me friend, me good friend. Friend, my friend, we did a street, yeah.
All right, Spencer, I don't know.
Yes, my friend.
Can you hear me?
Let me see if my guests on Zoom will understand. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you loud. Yes, it drops the connection, and I don't know. You know, the internet is not strong enough today. Well, it's loaded because everybody is on the internet everywhere.
Yeah.
So you know what I think I'll do, Roger? I'll close down the Zoom.
All right, so you call me.
Yes, I'll call you. Let me talk a little bit until it goes again, and then I'll just close it and see what happens, you know, because it's the first time this has happened.
Every time.
Oh, I don't know what is causing this. And I spoke with the tech, and he said I should close on the Zoom.
It's, all right.
I'm sorry about that. All right. Three, 0867. All right.
Right-o.
All right. So I'm just going to close it off and see what happens. All right.
Okay.
Really. Just in case you're joining us, I'm having a spotter problem here. Bear with me, all right? Let me continue with the opening, and we'll see how long this lasts. My tech is telling me that it could be the Zoom, so we'll... need your help. Thank you, my friend. I'm going to go with this. Eh? Yes, I...
CKUT 90.3 FM, People's Station.
Yes, me. santo nome tuo dirò, un nome che oramai non ho paura che risuoni dentro me. Di luce esplode la poesia come una sacra sinfonia che intona per il mondo un'alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. I did my best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth, I didn't come to fool ya.
just want to ask you to bear with me because I'm having a sputter problem here. Never had this problem before. So we're trying between Nicholas and our tech Spencer. We're trying to get it going, all right? So bear with us. This is reggae music. Reggae music. We're honoring Mr. Bob Marley, and I'm looking for my guest. I could cry. Folks, believe you me, I could cry. Never had this problem before, but between Nicholas and myself, and not myself so much, and the tech, they seem to figure out what is causing it. So, you know, I am going to try and go back on the Zoom again before the evening is over, so I can at least say hello to my friend. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. This thing did me a wicked thing. And I don't know. Don't cry over spilt milk. We have an idea what is causing it. So let me play this. What time is it? 4:30. Let me get some commercials then, and then we'll see. All right? Oh, boy.
The Caribbean News is sponsored by TNT Palace, 6343 Victoria. Doubles, macaroni pie, fresh roti made every hour. All your traditional Trinidadian flavors. Open 6 days a week till 8 p.m., closed on Mondays. Call 514-587-8423, TNT Palace, 6343 Victoria.
This message is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Now more than ever, the simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
When your parents need your help, you're there. When your kids say something's wrong, you're there. When your friends have a rough day, you're there. Be there for yourself the way you're there for others, as it's normal for these uncertain times to bring out negative emotions or anxiety. If you're finding it difficult to carry out daily tasks, there are solutions. Visit quebec.ca/gettingbetter or call Info Sociale 811. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
This message is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Here we go again. Nasir Fontaine. Who knows where this guy comes from? Wicked singer. Wicked, wicked, wicked singer. Closest thing to Bob Marley.
Home. Oh, home. Oh, children, home. Wanna go home. Home. Oh, home. Yes, children, home, got to go, yeah. We've been trodden from Genesee, right on through Revelation. We've been a subject to Master's feet, so blessed, so we wanna go. Scattered through the earth, Jacob is calling his children, 12 tribes, so we want to go home. Oh, children, home, oh, home, to Zion, oh, wanna go. The master's weak, so blessed, so we wanna go home. Oh, Reuben, see me.
Okay. Woo. I lost 40 pounds. Not used to this, and it's simply my fault, I think. But it's no fault of this station. Roger, how you doing, brother? Let me get you. Yes, how are you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Looking good, man. Looking good. All that sunshine is good for you down there, or what?
Well, it's about 76 degrees.
Ah, oh, shut up, Roger, and get off the people's radio, okay? You're a torturer.
Hey, I grew up in New York. I know cold.
You grew up in New York, Jamaica, anywhere the tropics were. But, you know, seeing that we're running so late, let me just officially introduce my good friend, Mr. Roger Steffens. In 2021, we'll mark the 40th anniversary that Bob has departed from us, and also his 76th birthday on February the 6th. A good way to remember his legacy is to invite someone that has lived and toured with this great musician with him in the late 70s. Roger Stephens, historian, founding chairman of the Grammy Committee. He co-hosted the award-winning radio program from out of Los Angeles, Reggae Beat, and co-founded the Beat magazine. He has lectured worldwide on Bob Marley at hundreds of venues, including the Smithsonian and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bob Marley gave to the world poetry and music that revolutionized and brought new levels of consciousness to the people in the world. I won't read anymore because this could go on forever. Roger Stephens, so much to say. That is the name of his book. I didn't get a chance to fully digest or get into the book as I would have loved to because, you know, it's a million things I'm doing here. We're not in the comfort of our studio, Roger. So you have to bear with us, all right?
Oh, I'm fine bearing with you. I've had so many things happen in my broadcast career that could never be predicted. But as I said earlier, every time we tried to do a phoner on the Reggae Beat show, something inevitably went wrong. Tricknology. Remember Peter called it tricknology.
Tricknology. Peter Touch called it tricknology. You're totally right. You know, I have never really had any problems here. This is my first one. And now I moved around everything so much I can't find him. it's one of those days, believe you me. Let me, for those who are not familiar with Roger Stephens, let me just ask you the first question. What made you have that interest to follow a musician, say, from Jamaica?
Well, I had never encountered a musician like Bob Marley in my whole life. I was born in 1942, so I'm first generation rock and roller. 12 years of age in 1954 when Rock Around the Clock was released and Shaboom and Alan Freed, the great king of rock and roll, came to New York City and revolutionized radio. And I used to go to all of his big stage shows, saw almost all the early major figures, Buddy Holly, Jackie Wilson, Bo Diddley, Chuck Berry, and so forth. And I loved the doo-wop harmonies of the music. And then in the 60s, when the folk and the politically oriented music came in with Dylan and others, I loved the consciousness of the music. And by 1970, all those wonderful little black labels that released so much great music got bought up by the major labels, and music changed. It became, you know, not very compelling.
Right. It became whitewashed.
Yeah, whitewashed, deracinated. Absolutely right. And I was looking for something that would have the doo-wop harmonies with the consciousness of the 60s. And in 1973, I read an article in Rolling Stone. It's too bad we can't be on TV right now. Here's the cover of the Rolling Stone from July of 1973.
Wow. And
Countryman is on the cover. And they called him Countryman. And it was an incredible article by a man named Michael Thomas, an Australian gonzo journalist who gave us a quick history of reggae music. And, you know, I'd never even heard the term reggae by 1973. And I was just so overwhelmed by the breadth of that field and so close to America and never being exposed to it, except for My Boy Lollipop and Israelites. But nobody ever used the word ska or reggae about those songs. They were novelty songs. So I read this article. The writer, and I never get tired of quoting this, said, "Reggae music crawls into your bloodstream like some vampire amoeba from the psychic rapids of Upper Niger consciousness."
Wow. Who was that?
Michael Thomas, and it became a book later called Babylon on a Thin Wire, and then was re-released as Ja Revenge. But it's some of the most concentrated Gonzo Hunter Thompson inflected writing I've ever read in my life. And that sentence changed my life. I went out immediately and I found a copy of a used copy of Catch a Fire, Bob's first Island album. Excuse me. And I dropped the needle on Concrete Jungle and my head exploded. And the next night I saw The Harder They Come in a little theater on the north side of the Berkeley campus. And when the chalice scene came on the screen, everybody in the theater lit up a joint. And there was so much smoke in the theater, you couldn't see the screen. On the way home, I bought the soundtrack to The Harder They Come with Toots and Jimmy
Cliff,
Odeons, yes. And Scotty and everybody. And I just couldn't wait to wrap my ears around more of this music. And luckily, there were some great import stores in Berkeley that got the British Trojan pressings. And there was a little record store on Fillmore Street in San Francisco run by Ruel Mills, who was an old spar of Bob's from Trenchtown.
Right, right.
And he didn't have a huge stock, but he had Count Ossie and the Mystic Revelation of Rastafari. He had Russ Michael and the Sons of Negus. He had Slim Smith.
The Works.
Cornell Campbell, the Uniques, Alton Ellis, Joe Higgs, all these early great roots people. And 3 years later, my wife and I went to Jamaica for the first time. We went to Bob Marley's Record Shack, where one of the biggest stars in the music at the time tried to pick my pocket.
Oh, no.
And they had no Bob Marley records for sale in Bob's record store. So I learned a lot about how to develop my music collection. And if you see something, you grab it right away because you may never see it again. But through all of this, the major voice in the music for me was Bob Marley, along with Bunny and Peter in the original Wailers. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to learn everything I possibly could about reggae and what that led to, which would be Selassie, the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible because I went to Catholic schools for 15 years. it opened a whole world to me. And since then, I've written 7 books about reggae and Bob Marley.
Right, and toured the world.
Yeah, with my Life of Bob Marley show, I've been from the bottom of the Grand Canyon to the outback of Australia, spreading the word. I've probably done over 500 shows. One of the most recent, incidentally, was at the Library of Congress.
Whoa!
When my new book, So Much Things to Say, came out. And they had always wanted to do something there about Bob, and they used my book as the pretext for getting me down there to do a talk. And 3 of the major figures in my book showed up. Dira Tompkins, the black activist from Washington, D.C., who was Bob's unofficial host in Zimbabwe when he helped open that country, and Dermot Hussey, the great dean mm-hmm. of Jamaican Broadcasters,
yes.
and Carl Colby Jr., the wow. son of the former head of the CIA,
yes.
who has been falsely yes. accused of being involved in the assassination attempt on Bob's life. And each of those people tell their story in So Much Things to Say, the oral history of Bob Marley. Bob is the preeminent musical figure of the 20th century. That's not just my opinion, but the New York Times, which said that he was the single most influential musician of the second half of the 20th century. The first half, they said, was Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
And what did they have in common? They were both daily herb smokers.
You know, I like to get the feel of the younger people, what they're thinking, what they're saying. And I naturally, of course, you being a historian, my daughter being a historian, I went to her because I want to know. She's a massive fan of Bob Marley. You should have seen this 13, 12-year-old dancing.
You raised her right, Stretch.
Yeah, I didn't have to raise her. She just loved Bob Marley. And you explained what drove you to reggae music. She had asked that question. And in particular, Bob Marley. Well, you explained that. But she has two that I didn't, you know what I'm saying? I don't think I would have thought of these questions. She says to ask you, Mr. Stephens, we know that when parts of Africa were fighting for independence, from European control. Roots reggae, in particular, Bob and the Wailers were the soundtrack for these movements. Does the music still hold that type of revolutionary power?
Well, I think it's interesting that in 2021, when revolutionary musicians in countries all around the world want to make a statement, quite often they use the rhythm of reggae music to underpin their songs. And one of the women in my new book, Dr. Gail McGarrity, had been in Nicaragua during the Civil War, and she said both the Sandinistas and the Contras would ride to battle against each other listening to Bob Marley's music.
Wow. Wow. I never knew that.
So your daughter is very perceptive. Reggae is the chosen rhythm of resistance. And the reason for that is pretty simple. It's a universal rhythm. It is the beat of the healthy human heart at rest. So who can't relate to that? It's the music you heard in the womb. It's the rhythm in the womb. So they put their own local forms of music over that reggae rhythm. And we see it in South Africa. We see it in South America. We've seen it all over the world where there are revolutionary movements. And people like the Aboriginals in Australia and the Maori people of New Zealand regard Bob practically as a deity.
One last question from her. She says something controversial. Will Bob's legacy ever be tainted by the Me Too movement and cancel culture? We've seen...
Go ahead.
She says, we've seen artists like John Lennon get called out on popular social media apps like Instagram and TikTok for what could be described, especially in the case of John Lennon, as abusive behavior. Bob is infamous for his many girlfriends and his controversial views on women, their beauty and their place in marriage. Can he too get called out, or should he be called out?
Well, let's put it simply. I don't think Bob ever forced himself on another woman. According to his cousin, he had 19 children.
Yes.
And I think the baby mothers of every one of those children would say they entered into that relationship
eyes
voluntarily.
Wide open. Yeah.
One of Bob's favorite pickup lines was, "Would you like to have my baby?" And I'm not gay, but if I were a woman and he said that to me, I probably would have said, "Okay, Bob, let's do it."
So you don't think that he will be called out any time at all?
No, he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be. Look, it's a personal thing between an individual man and an individual woman. I never heard anybody make a public statement that Bob raped them.
Yes, I never heard that myself.
No,
that's true. So true. It's just that, everybody has something to say. How would you describe Marley's impact on Jamaican culture and reggae music if you were going to explain it to a younger generation not familiar with his legacy?
Well, the Tapa Norrises in Jamaica, whenever they go abroad, the first thing people say to them is, "Bob Marley."
Yeah.
And it freaks them out.
Right.
I mean, you go anywhere in the world today and you mention Jamaica, that's the first thing that comes to anyone's mind. And I think the government finally came to terms with it, after all, on their advertising to come to Jamaica as a tourist destination. They use One Love.
It's still being used by Sanders, as a matter of fact.
I
just saw an ad there with it the other day. Yeah.
He is the greatest cultural exponent who ever came from the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And I include Belafonte in that. You have to think of Belafonte in that upper region.
Right.
But that was calypso music. It wasn't even Jamaican music that right. he was popularizing. But Bob meant something on so many levels to so many different people. Give you an example. I was interviewed not long ago by Phil Kogan, who is the producer host of The Amazing Race.
Yes, yes, yes.
He won 10 Emmys for that show. And he wanted to talk to me, he said, because he had been to 130 countries all over the world. And in every single country, he found evidence of Bob Marley.
I don't doubt that. You know, I remember being in Spain, Maldives Island, and there was this store with a massive Bob Marley shirt outside. In front of the store. I said, is that for sale? She said, yes. And I bought that shirt. I still have it. It could take two of us, but it's okay.
Too bad we're not on TV, but you can see it here on the
Zoom. Don't worry, the next time.
Beautiful shirt.
Wow.
This is from Tokyo.
Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah. Nice. And I have, I took a picture of Bob that's been used all over the world and bootlegged. I can't tell you how many times. It's Bob in profile with a big smile on his face, holding a joint in his hand. And my friend, Dr. Smith at the University of the West, Matthew Smith at the University of the West Indies. Last time I saw him in Kingston, he was wearing a shirt with my picture on it. And I said, where'd you get that? And he said, Johannesburg. And I said, it's a South African shirt. He said, no, it was made in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia.
My God.
So, you know, it's a great honor in the reggae world to be bootlegged.
I know, but geez, that one is a good one. What are your fondest memories of Bob so far?
Just... What a sensitive, loving, generous man he was. His business manager, Colin Leslie, was asked once about something Chris Blackwell said, that he thought Bob supported financially 4,000 people a month. And Colin said, oh, no, it was much more than that. And Colin had to sign the checks, so he knew better than anybody. It was his openness to his fans. He lived for others. I mean, he never had a house of his own.
No.
Never. And he didn't even have a real bed until about 18 months before the end of his life. I write about that in So Much Things to Say.
Wow. Tell me the story on that. No bed?
Well, some of the women in his life got together and bought him a bed to put upstairs at Tuff Gong because he was sleeping up there on a cot. And he was just as happy as sleeping on the ground out under the stars with that rock stone for his pillow. That was not a metaphor. That was real life. And if you asked him what he was, right to the end, he would say, I'm a farmer. And I think that's why people of the earth regard him as such a highly evolved figure.
Mm. You know,
but what I love about him too was his discipline. If you ask people who knew him well to describe Bob with one word, almost overwhelmingly they will say disciplined. And there's so many things in the new book about that. Rehearsals where Judy Mowat said she and the I3 would rehearse a single song sometimes for 14 hours until they were begging Bob to let them go home.
You want me to give you a little story? My story.
Yeah, come on.
When they were recording Duppy Conqueror at Federal, we were, when I say we, a band from Maypen called the Viscounts Band, we were supposed to back up the tenors, you know, who sang Ride Your Donkey, and they were doing a song called Who Is Another Scotcher? The tenors, Clive with the tenors. Our time in the studios was at 3 o'clock the evening. We got there since 2 o'clock and we pulled up at the gate at Federal and the music is going and it's going and it's going. 5 o'clock, I went up to the guy, the Anderson, who was a keyboard man, the tech. I said, what time you guys finishing? He says, your guess is as good as mine, so we don't know. We had to leave because they were in that studio and the weed was so thick, it looked like a cloud was happening in there, you know. So that was my little thing with him. And we were cheesed because we came from the country. We came, we drove a good hour to, it's not like now 15 minutes, but it was an hour to get there. And we never got through in the studios. They were doing Duppy Conqueror. So every time I hear Duppy Conqueror, I tend to bite my lips. No,
but you were the Duppy and they were the Conqueror.
They were the Conqueror. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. So, you know, tell the people a little bit about your collection, because I don't even know how to ask you that question. The collection, the archives. Tell the people a little bit about that.
Well, it's consumed my life for almost 50 years now.
Wow.
It started with the article in Rolling Stone. I cut that out and put it in a manila envelope. And every time I came across anything to do with reggae music or Ethiopia or Haile Selassie, I cut it out, and I had to learn about Jamaican history and politics. I had to immerse myself in fields that I knew nothing at all about, because someday I figured I might be speaking about this. Mm-hmm. I've always been a writer and an actor my entire life. And if something interests me, I start a file on it. And now it fills 7 rooms, floor to ceiling, and we had to move twice just to house the archives.
But are they on display?
Well, privately, I mean, I haven't given a tour of the archives in a year now, but it used to be 2 or 3 times a week.
People yes, that's why I asked.
All that. Over the world at the weirdest times.
I remember right here in Montreal, you had come here and did a show. By the way, that was the last time I saw you face to face. You were in the studios at CKUT, and Lady Saw was there looking at you as if to say, "Who is that man?"
But, yeah, she just couldn't get me at all.
No.
So and she was still in her slackness phase in those days.
Yeah. She's a Christian now. Anybody else who is a Christian do you know of?
Yeah, Tommy Cowan.
Tommy's a Christian now. I'm glad for him.
Yeah, and Carlene Davis. And
She.
Papasan. Wow. Yeah, a lot of people. And Russ Michael.
Russ Michael, yes.
Has embraced the Ethiopian Orthodox Church.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice. They're finding themselves.
You asked about the archives.
Yes. Sorry. I got carried away. It's so much thing I want to ask you. I could cry. So much thing to ask. Oh, man. I'm going to steal 5 minutes in the next hour or so, because you know what? I am supposed to do another show with my friend. It's her show tomorrow. And I'm going to ask her if I can get a half an hour, because so much things to talk to you about. You know what I mean? So I hope you'll have some time, if you can, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, sure.
All right, we'll talk.
I can give you a quick run-through.
Yes, you go right ahead. No, go right ahead.
There's 30,000 reggae photographs.
Whoa.
There's 3,000 books and magazines, including an entire 53-year run of Rolling Stone, beginning with volume number one. About 12,000 reggae records and CDs, 14,000 hours of reggae cassettes, 2,000 large posters, 30,000 worldwide reggae flyers, 3,000 reggae business cards, 1,500 T-shirts, over 3,000 reggae buttons, 200 hours of Sunsplash master tapes.